Right before I start my sermon, I was thinking about this from different experiences I've had here recently. And is, I believe that God's people, what is it? Oh, I don't know what this thing is here. So that's my wife signaling me. You know, that God's people all around the world, throughout the world, I think in this generation, that they're living in a, what I would like to say a desert. And the reason why I use the word desert is because desert represents emptiness, loneliness, isolation, and it represents barriers, obstacles, challenges. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it talks about that the people of Moses' generation, it says they all drank of the same spiritual drink, which it says is Christ, right? And yet many of them were overthrown, even after doing that. We drink of that spiritual drink, right? The Bible, Jesus says he came to give us living water, right? And but us, I think, as Christians around the world, if we're being honest, some of us get overthrown in this desert. And I use the word desert because, like I think it's pronounced Hosea, in the fourth chapter, is talking about, it says that God says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That was a plea from the Lord, like brokenness. Now, I want you to think about that. It says, because of lack of knowledge. It didn't say that his people are destroyed because of a lack of signs and wonders and miracles. Did it? He said it was because they lacked knowledge. I think that's what's wrong with today. We think we have a lot of knowledge because we got scriptures memorized. Well, Satan had them memorized because didn't he say he quoted them to Jesus? Well, a lot of good that did him. So I want you to, one of the things that our ministry is focused on is not the declared doctrines that are, you know, like, hey, yes, there is a God. That is true. But we want, but that's not what my problem is there God or not? My problem is that, you know, I can't get along with me, myself, and I. And I definitely can't get along with anybody else. I got problems. I don't like myself. I got sins. I got hindrances and all these obstacles. And I can't believe I'm the only human being at 8 million or 8 billion, I mean, close to 8 billion. I think it's like 7.53, whatever. They keep changing it. We keep increasing. I think we're all in this together. Something needs to be different. You know, I wanted to mention, there was a young man. Okay, you've all known once. And I knew. Who wished he had friends, but didn't have any friends. But then one day this young man, that changed. He had gotten friends in his life. What did he do? You know, well, one day this friend or this young man with these new friends that God brought in his life, one of them had a dog, and that dog was on a leash and inside a pen and jumped over the pen and hung itself accidentally. And that young man laughed about it and hurt his friend. He went on to interact with these friends. He would spit words of frustration, anger, jesting, lying, contentious with every situation. And then one day he was coming around the corner, you know. And before he made his presence known, some of his friends were gathered together to go somewhere. And they didn't know that he was around the corner. And he heard them talking, and somebody spoke up and said, hey, hurry up, let's get going before he, you know, this person wants to go with us. Well, that broke his heart. That same young man also learned later and began to understand that his friends thought that he was just completely ignorant, mean, too hard to get along with, because his heart was just so broken. He had a lot of hurt. He did love God, and he really loved and cared about his friends. But he was just such a broken person. He felt like the least of them, probably was. And he just couldn't capture, could God really use him for anything? And would he ever be anything in God? But then there came a day that that young man was talking to the pastor and went ahead and confessed his sins, poured out his broken heart, shared all the filth and lies and hurt and anger that he had bottled up inside until he had nothing left. And what that pastor did was profound for that young man, because he looked him in the eyes and said, "You're still worth my time." And that changed from that point on, was pivotal for that young man, because he began to change. The young man that I'm talking about, he began to do work for the Lord, and he's standing before you right now. It's me. I did all these things. And it was all because someone demonstrated God's mercy, let God's mercy would demonstrate through them, and was merciful to me. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5 and 7. Matthew 5 and 7 says, or is written, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Sometimes, well, a lot of times, I messed up. I got my priorities wrong. Or I just couldn't think clearly. I'd get really down on myself. And when you're down on someone else, you can vent, right? Don't we vent when we're down on someone else? But how do you vent when you're down on yourself? Because everywhere you go, there you are. You can't escape self. And I needed mercy. I did not deserve it because I was such a hurtful person. I don't deserve God's mercy. But because someone showed me mercy, it gave me a chance to change. The Bible says, "If I give mercy, I will be blessed." And I today can say I'm blessed. My blessing was the chance to change. And that was all I needed. I'm crying because I'm not the only one. A lot of people feel this way. In Matthew 9 and 13, I didn't need money. I didn't need cars. I didn't need a lot of things. I just needed mercy because I was so hurtful. And my hurt caused me to be such an ignorant person. It says, go, and Jesus says, go. He told this to those who were so high and mighty. He was talking to people that had probably less hurt than the ones he came to. He came to help people like me, those that are even more broken than me. But one thing I said before that I have interacted because of my, I've been lucky to interact in a lot of the community of Christians. And we as a group around the world, we get so lifted up. We forget where God brought us from. And because we are less hurtful than those we run into, we don't show the mercy that God has given to us. And he was talking to them, and he said, go and learn this. And I thought it was interesting. He said, go learn this. Excuse me. Pardon me. And he told the Pharisees this. He said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Now, I know there's people that feel like, well, I'm a sinner that's saved. I don't want to be a sinner saved. I want to stop being a sinner. Because sin equals hurt. Sin hurts people. I want to stop. But Jesus said here, "I came to the sinners so they can get to repentance, to change that from being that way." Many Christians We try to do right. We sacrifice thing. We sacrifice doing what's wrong so we can do what's right. And we try that, right? We expect somehow that's going to make us spiritual. What do you know what I mean? But it's like, maybe you'll turn off that TV when there's nudity on there. Maybe you'll not hang around those people that talk bad or just bad examples. Or maybe I don't know. Think of everybody's smart. Those who are watching, you know, you can think of your own examples of maybe you do certain things. It's a sacrifice, isn't it? You limit your friends group. You're limited, right? You're sacrificing having a whole bunch of friends. I'm not talking about what's on Facebook. But Jesus says that's not the way to get there. Only mercy can get you there. A meek and humble attitude. Mercy and grace. God touching your life. Not because you or I are good enough, but because God looks down and says, hey, this person, you know, they've got a good heart. They don't deserve this, but I love them. God loves you. And he will help you get there. He will help you get there, Lord. Jason. Gary. And I can go on and on. You know, what is mercy? Well, it describes it. Let's turn to Ephesians 2 and 1. This seems very basic, but I think the Christians like that song by Rustav. I think we need to get back to the basics, Christians. We need to get back to the basics of Christ. Because we're missing something. We're missing a piece to the puzzle, to understanding. In this scripture, Ephesians 2:1 says, you made me alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When Christ comes into your heart, or I'm sorry, when you come to Christ, you are dead. Isn't it? Don't we come to Christ after we tried everything else? We're dead. I have made a lot of mistakes, and I have hurt people. And I've also burdened myself with a lot of garbage. Wrong thinking, listening to the wrong things, letting things, you know, adding to what mess Satan already put in me. Negative talk, negative attitude, going around vomiting. I use the word vomiting because that's what gossiping is. Is vomiting on other people's lives, onto other people's lives. You know that's what gossiping is? You go vomit on people, your own the cesspool that's in your that you swallowed. You know what's? You think that's gross? Yes, it's gross. You know what cesspool water is? It would be like going out and into a septic tank and dipping some of that and taking a drink. That's what we do when you take. When you think any other way besides the way God thinks, you're taking your cup of your life and you're dipping in the cesspool, which is, hey, it's feces, spiritual feces, and you drink it, and then you turn around to someone else, you spit on them, and now they got stink on them too. We are broken emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually because we live by the way we feel. If you drop down to verse 2 and through 3, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. All of our problems are because of living outside of God's will. Amen. Individually and collectively. God gives us life, and he raises us out of this cesspool of failure. If you drop down to verse 4 and 5, it says, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Think about this, because this is very impactful to me. Even while you were yet dirty, stinky, ugly, mean, hurtful, full of anger, venom, stuck in a miserable state, because he is merciful, he still loves you and wants to raise you up out of this filth and failure. Not by our effort, but because of who God is. But he doesn't just want to raise you up out of that cesspool. Because when he raises you up and takes you out, you still stink. It's still on you. Yeah, you're not drowning in it, swimming in it, living in it anymore. But you still got it on you. You stink. You know, he wants to cleanse you off, clean you up. What I want to impart with you is when we need mercy, we need mercy. Why we need mercy between the members of the body of Christ? The number one thing that we do, everything we do, whether it's build something, achieve something, strive for something, sacrifices, what do we do that for? Relationships. Think about whatever it is you like to do, hobby. Do you think if you're the last person on earth and you had a hobby, how long do you think that would be important to you? No. You got nobody to show it to you. I mean, when people have whatever, they like model planes or they collect this or that, what do? They want to show it. You ever watch, look at you, you know, I like Star Wars. And you see all these Star Wars fans get on YouTube and they'll get, you know, millions of people watching them and they show all the stuff they bought and all the, and this one guy built this huge, really nice studio to watch all the stuff in, right? It's for him. But what does he do? He puts it on YouTube so everybody can see it. Because it wasn't enough just for be for him. He wanted everybody to see it. We do everything we do is for someone else. It's relationships. How we dress. People dress to try to fit in, right? You know? I joke around with the younger guys in our congregation. We used to wear those. They still do every now and then, but I don't know what they call them. They call them the skinny jeans, but I call them the saggy bottom jeans. So I did that one day, and Elijah goes, "What are you wearing?" I said, "I want to join the saggy bottom boys club." So, and they go, "What do you mean saggy bottom?" I said, "Well, those jeans look like you look like toothpicks with a diaper." Except on me, and it didn't look like that. Because even though I had skinny jeans on, it didn't look like I had skinny jeans. They looked like regular jeans because I didn't have the legs to fill them out. But don't we talk. We dress and we talk like to, don't we, to try and fit in. You ever had someone that sometimes parents will see kids do this. Here's the kids. Your kid will start talking differently. What are you talking like that for? All of a sudden they change the way they laugh or the way they talk. And you find they're hanging around somebody you know. You say, "You sound like so-and-so." Oh, that's who you'd be hanging. Kids are always like, "How does my dad know who I was hanging around with?" It's because you talk the same way they do all of a sudden. Or you start doing mannerisms that was just like the person that they don't want you hanging around. That's how they catch you. You think you're being stealthy, but you're just, you know, we do that, don't we? We even walk different. We'll drive a car. Or we'll live in a house, or we'll have a hobby. It's all for relationships, you know. That's why all these Star Wars fans get on YouTube and all these different medias so they can connect to someone else who appreciates Star Wars, right? Well, it's for relationships. Human beings generally pursue relationships the wrong way. That's the problem. That's where we run into problems. We do things like we will do something to get a person's attention, or we try to cause them to like us. Don't we do that? I can always tell when the younger generation hits about 13 or so and then on. You can always tell when they like somebody. because they give all these signals off. That's how parents, as kids are like, how does parents know this? Because you got signals, you know. And like sometimes the girls will laugh a little too much at something that you thought that's the dumbest thing to say. And you look over, hey, my daughter's laughing. Stop that, because you know what that means. You know. Or your daughter doesn't smile and all of a sudden she's smiling all the time. But only when a certain person walks in the room. Or guys, they're just as transparent. A young man, 13, like, you know, they'll be like Levi Hills. I can always tell. I'm not going to mention names. I always tell when he likes a certain person because all of a sudden he's a little bit stiff, a little bit more, you know, like a rooster sticking out your chest, you know. That's how guys do it. At least that's how they used to do it. But one thing we know is this always leads to, it always ends in frustration, clashes, and problems because we do it the wrong way. We build relationships the wrong way. See, a key to successful relationships, especially in the body of Christ, is mercy. In Galatians 1 and 6, it says, brethren. Now, the word brethren in the Bible is always referring to everybody. The way King James translated 600 or less than 400 years ago was the word brethren, but it really means, hey, all of you people. If a person is overtaken in a trespass, which is a sin or a problem or a struggle, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. And I think the next part of this tells you how you can do that is considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I think he's saying, now consider yourself if you were the one struggling. Be compassionate. Be understanding. Be gentle. When a person makes a mistake, accept them and love them in your attitude and your expression. Amen. Mercy. If they're rude, gripey, negative, and they're miserable, and they're at their worst, this is an awesome opportunity to build your relationship stronger. Do you want to build your relationship stronger in your marriage? It happens in how you deal with your partner in a negative situation. That's when you build trust the most. When you struggle, when your friendships becomes more stronger when you deal with the negative in the right way. Amen. Because then they begin to feel like, well, if I can trust you at my worst, I can definitely trust you when I'm doing my best. Amen. Because when a person is at their worst, this is a very vulnerable moment for that person. And that's a moment for us, if we have mercy, we would just flood mercy, the mercy of God that's been given to us upon them, that person in the body of Christ I'm talking about. In that vulnerable moment, we can build a strong relationships. Amen. Ones that will last through anything. Even when we disagree, even when we don't understand, even when we talk different. Or we have different, you know, none of that's going to matter as much as that. You say, well, we'll get through this somehow because you just get that solid feeling. Somehow God's going to help us work this out. Amen. And I speak from experience. People are not ugly in their attitude and personality for the fun of it. If you're negative or if you're frustrated and you're angry and you're depressed, you have a need. That person has a need. And they're most likely down on themselves about something that you don't know about, something you haven't been given privy to the information yet. You can know this for sure. Something is clearly wrong. Amen. And this is when they need you most. Amen. Blessed is the person who is merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The blessing comes from your relationships in the body of Christ becoming spiritually nurturing, supportive, and encouraging. Solid. When the world comes up against you and when the world makes you look like you're just nothing, you're just not even worth anybody's time, the body of Christ has mercy on you. It gives you a chance to become everything you're meant to be. A merciful person gives love when it is not deserved. This is how we will change lives. This is how we can begin that process. The world's got it backwards. The world will applaud those who already are winners, those who already are successful, don't they? Don't they just lift up the people that get that last goal and then they go to the tournaments or whatever? Don't they go, yay, you know, and they get lifted up, you know? Who wins the Super Bowl? Everybody's like, you know. But that isn't the way God looks at it. God looks at it like, hey, it's the person, you should applaud the person who needs it the most, who feels like they are the least noticed. They are the one who goofed up the most. They're the ones who need you to be lifted up. That guy or that girl that shot the last basket and missed and lost the tournament for everybody. If we were being walking in God's heart, we would walk right over there with pride and pick that person up and says, you did your best and that's all we care about. And lift that person up like you. Can you imagine what everybody would be freaking out if the team picked them up like they do when they win and just said, they're awesome. And you start chanting their name. Elder crowd would be going. The world would be going, what in the, have you lost your mind? And that person probably thinks the same thing. What happened? I thought I lost. For some reason, I feel like a winner. So yeah, you are a winner because you gave it your best. Amen. Be merciful and you will be blessed. Mercy is God. Mercy is the ability to cover a hurting person even when they don't deserve it. Mercy allows us to be there for each other when we are needed the most. Thank you for being with us today. I know that was a short, and I hope it was an impactive sermon for you. We can't wait to see you next week at 11 a.m. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.